the one mediator. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. The idea and need of a mediator goes back to the beginning of human history. Job cried out for a day's man, one who could lay his hands on both God and man and bring them together. Job 9:33. In effect, he was saying, I cannot argue with God. We are not on equal terms. I need someone who is both God and man to come between us and put a hand upon us both. Job's cry was fulfilled in God's beloved Son. We have such a mediator for whom Job cried. He alone can bridge the gulf between God and men. Now, first of all, we see our Lord in this office as the guarantor of the new covenant. This is the first meaning of a mediator. There was an old covenant ratified at Mount Sinai, referred to as the law. Even that covenant had a mediator in the person of Moses. That covenant was between God and Israel. And could it have been honored, there would have been no need for a second covenant. But the law afforded no help to obedience, but simply demanded obedience. Israel, representative of our total humanity, was therefore left to its own resources to obey the terms of the covenant. This Israel could not do with an imperfect and fallen nature. An imperfect man cannot keep a perfect law. So that covenant was broken by one of the contracting parties, Israel. Thus the old covenant had to vanish away. The new covenant was set up not between God and men, but between the Father and the Son, to be wrought out by the Holy Spirit of God. It was founded upon our Lord's sacrificial death, which provides an eternal redemption. Hebrews 9:13-15. This was a better covenant, founded on better promises, as the blood of Christ actually cleansed from sin, which the blood of bulls and goats under the old covenant could not do, and which the new covenant also secured, our acceptance with God. Now this new covenant is ministered to us through our Lord's present priesthood in heaven. Hebrews 8 and verse 6. This is a more excellent ministry than that of Jewish priests, because Jesus is a mediator of a better covenant, founded upon better promises. He is our high priest in the true tabernacle, since he has entered into heaven itself and ministers there to make good to us that inheritance, so that we may live in the enjoyment of it. Secondly, as the mediator, we see him the minister of the new covenant. The Lord Jesus, first, as a ministry to sinners. It is as mediator we must come to him, because he is the only one who can bring us to God. The fact that he is himself man makes it easy for man to come to him. Our coming is not to some awesome being. We come to one who himself is man. We have a man to plead our cause, one who gave himself a ransom for us. He thus takes repentant sinners by the hand and brings them to God, because he is the Savior of the world. He pleads our case, and pleads successfully, for the forgiveness of our sins, on the basis of the merit of his own precious blood. His ministry is also to believers. He is our mediator. Believers have their own peculiar needs, and each has his own. It is not that believers need to be saved again, but they do need to be strengthened, enlarged, and enriched. For this cause, he ever liveth to make intercession for them, Hebrews 7:25. That is his ministry on the behalf of his own redeemed ones, who find it no easy path through this life. It's not an easy way to heaven. But in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have a mediator who can meet every need, since he continueth ever and has an unchanging priesthood. He makes intercession for us all the way of our pilgrimage. That is his mediatorship. Romans 8:33, 38, 39. His ministry is also to intercessors. God's people are a praying people. In the upper room, our Lord was looking forward to his present mediatorial ministry when he said to his disciples, "In that day, ye shall ask me nothing. Whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it you." John 6:23. He stands between God the Father and us when we ask. And we may ask the Father directly through him. He takes our requests and presents them to the Father and perfumes them all with his own adorable merit. His ministry is also to worshippers. We read, "Ye are a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. We serve God with our worship, praise, and adoration. Worship is the highest exercise of the human spirit. It is the pouring out of our souls in a priestly sacrifice of worship and adoring praise. But often, there is a weakness in the flesh. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26 and verse 41. We often feel too that we cannot frame our words aright. Everything we utter seems so mean and meager. Often our praises are marred with stains of imperfections as they rise from a heart engrained with sin. Ah, but our feeble worship, our poor and meager expressions, are made to rise to God through the mediatorial ministry of our great high priest on high, and are all made to do so as a sweet savor acceptable to God. Listen to the words of Horatius Bonham. Our life is hid with Christ in God above. Upward our hearts would go to him, whom seeing not, we love. He liveth and we live. His life for us prevails. His fullness fills our emptiness. His strength for us avails. When he who is our life in glory shall appear, we too shall be revealed with him and his bright raiment wear. In him we then shall be transformed and glorified, for we shall see him as he is, and in his light abide. Horatius Bonham. Amen. And amen.